GAA podcast on RTE.ie, sponsored by Optimum Nutrition. No matter your goal, if you're putting it in, we'll help you get more out. Optimum Nutrition, the official performance nutrition partner of the Gaelic Players Association.
Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a point. And there's the whistle. It's over. It's over.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road, and that's not going to be taken away from us.
But what I love in hurling, I love players that will never give in.
He hits it. He hits it. It's over the bar.
Welcome to the RTEGA podcast. Rory O'Neill is my name, sitting in for Jackie Hurley. And we are delighted to be joined by Kieran Whelan and Enda McGinley this morning as we look ahead to four really, really interesting four football quarterfinals. But lads, just, I suppose, before we get stuck into football, I think it would be remiss of us to go a step further without paying due deference to the loss of one of RT Commentary's greats, and look, a GAA great in many ways, Micheál Murhurtig, obviously passed away during the week. And Wheelo, I think you made it into one of his eternal lines as well about the poor lad in Sligo, is that right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, one of my rare goals, I think. Obviously, Micheál was on duty. But yeah, listen, Roy, we lost the national treasure.
Yeah.
I think, you know, a unique man, a unique individual, somebody who I don't think we'll ever see the likes of again. And, you know, a thorough gentleman. Would have got to know Micheál over the years. You know, he came into the dressing room in Croke Park, you know, nearly every game. It was very strange when you look at today's kind of media blackout. You know, Micheál was allowed into the dressing rooms before and after games, and it was kind of like, sure, it's only Micheál, you know. And you'd arrive in Croke Park an hour and a half before a game, and he'd wander in and he'd go around and shake hands with everybody and wish them the best of luck. And he'd always focus even on new players, like a guy that he didn't know. I think it was his way of kind of, you know, painting a picture himself for the commentary box. He'd go over, wish them the best of luck, and then he'd come back in after the match, you know, win, lose or draw. And he didn't come in kind of immediately. It'd be kind of the stragglers, you know, coming out of the shower, half the team bus would be on, and he'd wander down just to kind of either commiserate or congratulate. You know, I remember one particular time, one of the best chats I had with him was one of the days that I was held back for drug testing, and I was kind of left in Croke Park. The guys headed off and I was there with the kit man, and I was obviously waiting around because I had to deliver my sample. And you know, he sat down and had a great chat with Micheál, and you know, a special man who had time for everybody. And you know, I have a picture hanging here in the house of himself and my son and all in final day, when my young lad brought out the Sam. Probably the only time Whelan got in the tunnel on all in final day, where he was bringing out Sam a few years ago. And you know, it's a picture of Micheál talking down to him as a three, four-year-old boy. Yeah. Just a unique man who had time for everybody, a gentleman, an icon in what he'd done, and will be sadly, sadly missed and never replaced, I don't think.
That is true, isn't it? And he certainly was irreplaceable and will be irreplaceable. I mean, there are some fine commentators coming through, and RT has always been served with some of the best commentators. But he did really stand out, chief amongst them. Like, there was something unique about him.
No, he was an exceptionally special individual. I think all of us, like, how he got to meet so many people in his time, and he was always so personable. His humility was unbelievable. But just, you almost feel sorry for, say, I was trying to explain to my children just who he was and what his clips was, but you almost feel sorry for that generation coming up, that they won't get to experience the car journeys where you're listening to this voice. And I think you need to be old enough to start to realise just what he's doing and how he's doing it, and the way he weaves in his stories and his ability to know random information about just about every possible player and previous matches. And his layering in of that in such a seamless way. Like, you talk about Ireland being the land of poets and scholars and all, but he just had an absolute gift in that West Kerry accent, of course, that goes with it. It was an absolute, like, you just feel so privileged to have been able to sit on various car journeys listening to that and experience, and then you got to meet him, and of course he just who he was in person. He was immense, irreplaceable. an absolute, like we talk about national treasure. He was like, he was just such a gem of a person, and somehow somebody that all of us felt as if you knew him personally, as if you sort of, Michal, and if you seen him, you could go up and chat to him. Like he just carried his, he carried his gift, he carried his talent so likely. And then you remember him training the Kerry foot. Like he just was in every part of the game, across every part of the game. And that just, the goodness within him too, just as a person. Yeah, immense, exceptionally sad to think we've lost him, and exceptionally privileged to think we had him.
Yeah, no, that is true. Quick story from my own personal point of view, and I know people can say, oh, it's all very egocentric when you relate it in a personal sense, but I suppose I only ever worked with him once, so it's the only time that I can relate. And it was, he had just retired. I popped it up, the actual video that we made that time on social media. He had just retired and I wrote this thing for him, and he rocked. So I rang him and I asked him, would he be interested in doing the piece? And he said he would, and he came up, and it was quite long, and I was a bit nervous. Would he know the words off by heart? Would I have to get clapperboards or, you know, some sort of cue cards? No, not a bother on him. Came in, had the words all off by heart, not a bother. But the most interesting aspect was, we was to film for 6 hours. We only had one camera, so we had to shoot the same thing, like the same angle, the same line, maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 different ways, and do that for every line. So he must have been there for 6 hours. And he was not a young man at this stage even. Like, never complained once. The only thing he ever asked for was a cup of tea. And he never, no whinging, nothing. And like, trust me, I've worked with some presenters and reporters, and it doesn't take much, for the whinging to start. This man never complained once, like the whole time I was there. And it was just such a privilege. And the way he delivered and invested himself into it, it was extraordinary. And yeah, you know, I think you guys have said it really well there. He will be sadly missed. And I'm sure he'll be missing the football. And the football this weekend, which we'll get stuck into now, I suppose. 4 good quarterfinals. We'll start, we'll go chronologically. And we're going to start with Armagh Roscommon. And I'm going to guess here, I'm going to throw this out there. I think this is going to be the most competitive of the four, Wheeler.
Interesting comments. I have to say,
he disagrees.
I hope people disagree.
Andy, you're not going to like this, but I was down obviously in Castlebar the weekend, so I missed Tyrone Roscommon, and I only watched it back there last couple of nights. Right. I can't get over how bad Tyrone were for large portions of that game. And that just leaves the question mark in that Tyrone were so bad. And I mean that just even in terms of their work ethic and even getting back into structure defensively, even their matchups. I was so surprised how weak they were. And I don't know what happened, Andy. You probably have more of an insight into that. But it may be made Roscommon look a little bit better than they actually are. And I know they're very well organised, and Davy Burke, you know, they spoke about their time, and we know they'll sit back and they'll try and play on the counter. They'll utilise their long kickouts, and they've 3 brilliant forwards in form in terms of Murta, Cox and Craig. But when you look at Armagh and you're thinking, well, did McKay and McGrain and the McCambridge, who will be their chief man marker, like they're gonna invest a lot of energy into trying to tie one or two of them down. Armagh will be more solid defensively, as we know. They're naturally probably more conservative. And they don't concede. Obviously, they've been quite good in terms of not conceding goals. So I just think it's a different challenge for Roscommon this weekend. And you're looking at Armagh and everybody is saying, okay, Armagh are going to come out and go for them. Will they press up on them? Will we see that exciting Armagh that we know we can see? I don't know whether we'll see that either. I think there will be a level of conservatism with them, but I just think, you know, I've been more positive on Mara all year probably than some others have seen them up close, and I think they don't lose games. They have a level of ability. They can mix it up when they want to. They've dangerous insides forwards. They have strength and depth to come off the bench. They have a strong midfield in terms of if Roscommon want to execute that long kick-out strategy. They have Creeley, they have Rhian O'Neill across the middle. And I'm not so sure, Rory. No, I don't agree. I think it's the obvious game where people might say, yeah, this has a this and listen, traditionally these two teams have been very close, and you know, when they've met a good bit over the last 7 or 8 years, and there hasn't been much between them. But I just think Armagh have a lot more under their belt. And I think if they execute their game plan and they really go for them when it's right time to go for them, and they tie down a couple of their top forwards, I think they'll have too much.
What do you think, Enda?
Yeah, I don't know. So I obviously seen Roscommon and Tyrone, and I was down at the Galway Armagh game, and to be honest, Armagh were not great in that game. Galway should have won that game.
Yeah.
5 points up, playing into the wind, had 2-3 score chances, and Armagh had been unable to break Galway down with any great quality. Were playing that more tentative game, were trying to be really solid defensively, but Galway were picking them apart. And Galway extended a lifeline to them through the couple of mistakes they give up, and by God, did Armagh take it. And then Armagh really came to life. They really brought energy to the game in that closing sort of 15 minutes. They were aggressive in the attack, and they were pushing hard, and they looked like a team transformed. But up until that, now they were poor, and for me, they were lucky to beat Galway that day. Now, if ever a team deserves a wee bit of luck, it's Armagh. They're last Croke Park visit was the Division 2 final against Donegal, and again they didn't rip up any trees that day. So they have, I fully agree with Kieran, and I like Kieran, I really, really like Armagh. I think they're a really good team. I think the solidity of the panel, the depth of their panel, and the number of good players they have is seriously good. But so often they seem to come out and they play a fairly pensive game to the level of the opposition, or bring sort of, they match up how the opposition match up, and then it all becomes quite tentative. And we've seen that they played Fermanagh, they played Down, and it was all pretty cagey. Now Fermanagh obviously blew them away, but Down in particular, Down set up really defensively, and Armagh struggled to break them down. So Armagh have the ability, I would agree with Kieran, Armagh have the ability to potentially take our Roscommon apart. I think, as Kieran said, Roscommon's performance against Tyrone was excellent, but the massive asterisk is that with it is that Tyrone were not at it. And what we've seen this year is that when Tyrone are at it, they can probably give anybody a game, but when they're not, they become very average very quickly. And that was definitely the case last week. For Roscommon, can they repeat the heroics? I don't think their forwards are going to get that shooting power. Can they break down a tight Armagh defence, which is, I think, how Armagh will set up? I would have question marks over that. Armagh do have more. I think Armagh have more options. I think Armagh will be happier to play this game the way I think it'll turn out, which will be slightly more cagey. The last time I was lucky enough to be in Portlaoise, I think it was Portlaoise, when these two teams met maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and it was a barnstorming game of football. It was a surreal game of football. I don't think we'll get that this weekend. It'd be amazing if we do, but I don't think we do. But I do. I fancy Armagh to come through. But both teams have a wee bit to prove. Roscommon brilliant the last day, but can they back it up, and can they come into a really tight game when a team has given them their fill of it, which I think Armagh will. And Armagh, which part of that Galway performance is Armagh at? Is it the latter half, or is it the first 45, 50 minutes of it? But for me, there is pressure on Armagh. Huge, huge opportunity for them after so many near misses to get to an All-Ireland semi-final. But one of them will be making it. And I think for me, it'll be Armagh.
I think the asterisk, Rory, that your concern, and I think it's an underlying concern that everybody's standing on the outside looking at Armagh as a view.
It goes to penalties?
Well, no. If you look back to last year, they were in this kind of situation last year, exact same situation last year, where they had, you know, topped the group that game against Galway. They had their 2-week break. They came into quarterfinal against Monaghan. Monaghan had obviously had been out the previous week, was it Kildare, wasn't it? And beaten Kildare. And you were kind of saying you were expecting Armagh to really finish Monaghan off in Croke Park. And I remember that game was extremely frustrating. You were looking at it, particularly for the first 45 minutes, you were looking, you were saying, Monaghan were there, I always felt for the taking if Armagh had imposed themselves on it. And they're
there's so many games like that, isn't
there? Yeah, there is. And that's the doubt end, I suppose. That's the doubt you just have over them. Like, they've no excuses coming in. They've had their 2 week break. You know, you could, you know, definitely that day. And you, as I said, you were down at the match, and McGeaney kept them in the dressing room for 20 odd minutes. And I'd say there was serious words had because they were so flat in that first half. And that's your only underlying concern. If Armagh come out and play with the level of intensity we know they can, and what we saw at times against Derry and even Donegal in the Ulster final, I think they'll have too much. That would be, but that there is an asterisk, there is a doubt kind of hanging over them smaller.
And they'll be bringing their hordes of followers and supporters again. In fact, the attendances look like they're going to be mega this weekend, apparently over 100,000 across the 2 days. Now, I think the bigger crowd will be on Saturday with Dublin and Armagh involved. And it's fantastic to see such big crowds. It's actually extraordinary this weekend if you look at what's going on in Dublin, not to get too sidetracked with Longitude and Taylor Swift, the National Athletics, you know, you've GAA quarterfinals, just a lot going on. So I suppose anybody that is traveling to Dublin, make sure that you give yourself a little bit of extra time.
Andy, you better be up early Sunday morning.
Get up early. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of people traveling on roads. But to move on to our next game then, Dublin-Galway. I mean, yeah. So you don't think this is going to be the most... You mentioned, Milo, that you didn't think Armagh Roscommon was going to be the most competitive game of the weekend. Do you see this one as being competitive?
Listen, it's a tricky fixture, I think, for Dublin. I don't think Dublin are... As I said, I don't think they're that far ahead of the rest. I think... You know, there's a few weaknesses that Galway will definitely look to expose. Gannon's gone in defence and Byrne is gone. And definitely, you know, when Mayo and that Dublin defence at times caused him a lot of troubles, even though their scramble defence sometimes was excellent, the likes of Howard getting back and Fenton getting back. You also look at midfield, which I think is a crucial battleground in this game, because Conor Gleeson's hardly going to go short, is he, after what happened last
year? You would hope not.
unless it's there and it's free and Dublin have conceded it. And so I think from a Dublin perspective, you know, will they have to put the same level of energy into that press? Will they just press? And I think they've got to get their midfield battle right, because, you know, Fenton is going to be tagged. You know, Tom Lahiff didn't have a good day at the office against Mayo. He doesn't really have that secondary support in the middle of the park. You're relying on kind of Kilkenny and then Howard maybe to pick up kickouts and stuff like that. So I think that's a second area where Dublin need to maybe invest a little bit more energy in overloading and having cover, because he's most likely going to go long on kickouts. So there's a couple of evident Dublin weaknesses, but I suppose the challenge from a Galway perspective is how are they going to approach this game? You know, can Galway play the same way Mayo do and match Dublin man on man? I don't think they can. I don't think they have it in the legs, and they're kind of the walking wounded. Finnerty seems to be playing through an injury. We know Coleman and Walcher are kind of hit and miss in terms of their fitness.
Sean Kelly,
they pride themselves on strong defence, not conceding goals, only conceding, you know, 12, 13 points a game. So it's really how do Galway, I think that's their conundrum. How do they come out and approach this game? Because I don't believe they can play the same way as Mayo. So I think their only option is to try and kind of frustrate Dublin, kind of hang in there, and they're going to have to come out of their shell at one particular point. But I don't know whether they have the ability to do that. And the fact that they're... Like, you'll probably get... Joyce wanted everyone on the pitch this weekend. This is it. There's no holds barred. Get everybody out there. Give it a shot. But are they fit? Are they fully fit? And have they got, you know, the personnel to last? They've been out, you know, last week. You know, they were poor in the first half last week again. Dublin have had a week to recover. I think Dublin will come on from the Mayo performance as well, Roy. I think they'll learn from that. That's the game they needed. They needed an intense game to sharpen up. I think Dublin will get better. So I'm struggling to see a Galway win.
Yeah, it's a very good point, actually, and in that the result in the Hyde that day from Desi Farrell's point of view was near on perfect. You know, you get a scratchy draw. They didn't lose the game, but they got a result. They managed to get that top seeding. They got their week off, but they didn't exactly set the place on fire. And it's a nice way for them to come in, where it kind of dampens down a lot of the hype. Galway didn't have to go that extra week, and they were on a hiding to nothing in a lot of ways, because most people felt they should be going out and taking care of business against the Monaghan side that really didn't fire at all in 2024, yet kind of stumbled over the line to a large extent. So form lines would dictate that this is a major, major ask of Galway.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I suppose it's one of the easiest and probably most useless forms of analysis to do in trying to weigh up two teams is when you look at sort of previous results. So how Galway done against Mayo, they obviously won the Connacht final. Yeah,
that's the odd.
And then Mayo drew with Dublin. So, okay, well, that means Galway is within touching distance of Dublin. But I agree, the Mayo performance would have went well. It was exactly what Dublin needed, and showed they're not a million miles ahead of the pack. It was out of Croke Park, and I think that is a factor worth at least several points. Dublin will have learned plenty, I think, to be honest. Even if they had lost that game, I think they would have benefited from an additional game as well. So, but they will be timing their run now. Is it within is Galway within touching distance to potentially turn over Dublin? They are. But I think Galway have it all to do. You have, as you have mentioned, you have several men that are not at full fitness. They all need to play like they're at full fitness and at full form. That's a big ask. I think the Mayo approach, I do agree with that. I think the Mayo approach is not where Galway are at the minute. But I think in how Louth took on Dublin, I think Galway will see a model there that they can perhaps go after, bringing their own tweak to it. They'll know if they can sit tight defensively. They have probably more in them than Louth to maybe make an impact with kickouts or at the far end. So I think they will set up pretty defensively, which isn't how Joyce would have ever envisaged it, but I think we've seen, as Joyce has been there, Galway have been more defensive, and particularly with the National League and the amount of men that they'd lost, they ended up working a lot defensively because they knew they couldn't just go out and go gung-ho with teams. They didn't have the personnel on the pitch to do that. So those type of experiences will have prepped them for what they can bring against Dublin. Is it within the realms of possibility? Absolutely. Galway could pull off a famous one here. I just don't see it.
Yeah,
I think one of the key things, Rory, like the Calma factor, Galway with Calma, Galway without Calma, like, you know, I think he would give them, if they sit tight, and in fairness, they're very good in terms of, you know, Silk and McHugh dropping in front of that D, and they can be very, very good defensively. But they need that, and they're very good in control of the ball. They don't turn over the ball much, you know. They're quite good in possession, but they need that outlet. And I think we saw that outlet against Mayo when Coma was there, gave them a different attacking dynamic, where when they don't have them, they tend to play a lot more controlled football and keep possession of the ball for a lot longer periods. So I think he's in probably, and I'm sure they're gonna throw him in there. He can be a human wrecking ball when he wants to be, and when he gets on fire. So he will definitely add a different, give them an option up there if he's fit.
Kicking the ball. Get sidetracked just ever so slightly, right? But just like both of you have played in Croke Park many, many times now, and we know that it's going to take a good bit out of the legs. Obviously, there's a football rules committee at the minute, you know, looking at different types of rules that might improve the game. But I just think this weekend, will it be the case that the team that kicks the ball, actually that moves the ball quickly in terms of kicking the ball, will they be the teams that will win this game, will win all four of these games? Because like, I'm fine to look at it. Armagh kick it, right? Well, and they certainly can when they want to. We know Dublin will. We know Kerry will. So I'm just wondering, Donegal won't. Okay, we accept that, right? But I'm just wondering, like, in a pitch the size of Croke Park, the fact that it's going to take it out of your legs, how important is it to have that particular option available to you to actually kick the ball into your forwards and move from back to front much more quickly?
I think it definitely helps a lot to have it in your armory, but the key is that you don't kick it away. I know, top analysis quote of the year. If you're, and it depends who you're playing. If you're playing somebody like Derry, who, you know, they were slightly more back to themselves the last day, or if you're playing Dublin, if you just give them easy possession, they are so good at working their score at the other end that it kills you, and you spend your constant time then on the back foot and giving them the platform, and you have to build yourself into the game at times. You have to retain the ball. You have to work your chance. It is critical that you don't cough up that ball easily. And at certain times in the game, if you're a wee bit under the caution, you're going forward, a speculative kick pass that just lets them have it again and come back out. So teams are well aware that kick pass and a kick pass in is a brilliant way of attack if you can get a fast attack. And sometimes if you're kick passing in and you're still set up defensively, at least you're there and you can maybe affect like almost like a middle third block and try and, in rugby parlance, play for where you are on the pitch.
Play for territory, yeah.
But possession is so critical in the modern game. You cannot afford cheap turnovers because it gives energy to the opposition. So if it's a quality ball into David Clifford, if it's a quality ball into them, that's fine. Dublin do mix it up. They do lump the odd one in, but they do have Conn in there, and he's a decent ball winner if ever there was one. But they'll not do that too much. And certainly in times when the game is open and a game is spilled and they're lacking a wee bit of control, they'll look to stifle the opposition, and that'll not include just lumping a ball in.
Well, that's the perfect segue to move on to the next game, where we're unlikely to see too much kick in, right? It's our opening game on Sunday, Donegal against Louth. I know a lot of people are obviously making out the fact that, look, this is bonus territory. This is a free hit. This is it's obviously a maiden voyage from a Louth perspective to make a quarter final for the first time. From Donegal's perspective, to win the Ulster Championship, Jim's first year back, to make a quarter final, top their group. If Donegal were to lose this, Wheeler, considering all the positivity, all the achievement up to now, would this defeat then make the entire year a disaster?
Well, I wouldn't say disaster, because it'd still point to the Ulster Championship in terms of progress. But if they were to lose, Rory, you would back up your strong opinion about Ulster football, I'm sure, and you'd be sharing that with us next week. But I'd say Louth are buzzing at the moment. Mm. Like, it must be a brilliant camp to be in. The buzz in the county, probably pretty similar to where Donegal were, probably, you know, back in throughout that Ulster Championship, and maybe the Cork thing took a little bit of the hype out of it, which probably wasn't a bad thing. But it's a kind of a free shot for Louth, but at the same time, their players are probably playing, you know, at their max. Like, they're full of confidence. And when you look at their journey, like, when you think about Louth's journey this year, you know, they played Kerry, they played Dublin, they played Cork, you know, they played a couple of top quality teams. Yeah. And I know Kerry got the run on them, and they got back into Dublin, and Ger set them up in a very, very, I suppose, extremely conservative way. And they went out for those games for damage and limitation. There was no doubt about it. Like, you went into the Leinster final saying, right, we lost by whatever amount of points, 20-odd points the previous year. We have to reduce that. And that was deemed success. I suppose on the weekend now, they have to come out and win the game. You know, they have to come out and win the game. That's the challenge for them. So I wonder, will that change their approach slightly? In that, will they have to mix up their game plan a small bit? And, you know, you get the sense if they sat really deep that it might just suit Donegal. You know, Donegal have so many shooters from around that arch, and they've good long range shooters that they could pick them off. Do you wonder, do Loud have to come out and play a little bit and mix up their game plan a small bit? Because they have to kind of they can turn into a war of attrition like the Cork game. They want to and hope that they fall over the line. But I don't think that will work against Donegal. I think Donegal will pick them off. They'll win that battle. And so I wonder, do they just have to tweak their game plan, push out a bit on Donegal, press a little bit more on kickouts when they have that opportunity? They have good athleticism, they have good players. You know, they're good forwards. We know that the power, they have a good running game and the guys that can take scores. So they're going to be fearless coming into this game. And if anything, all the pressure is on Donegal.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, the pressure is on Donegal. Yeah.
But you would just think that, you know, on the balance, even, you know, probably one of Jair's weaknesses, he probably said it from the start, was he doesn't really have maybe the depth and the 20-21 players that you need. And particularly going into Croke Park this weekend, that could hurt them in the last 15 minutes when Donegal are able to bring in some players like for like and increase that level of power. And I just think Donegal would have that bit of extra quality in the end. But it's a dangerous, as much in the league after 50 minutes, there's only a point in it between them. So they do know each other, but I just think Loud would have to come and win the game this weekend, and that's going to be their biggest challenge. They're going to have to score more. 1-9 is not going to win.
No, it isn't. No, from Donegal's perspective, and if you look at the year that Jim McGuinness and Donegal have had since he's come back in, promotion back to Division 1, they go up to Division 1 as Division 2 champions, they win the Ulster Championship, and now they're presented with Louth as quarter-final opposition to make it back to an All-Ireland semi-final. Now, if you were to tell Jim McGuinness or the Donegal players before a ball was kicked back in January, that would be where you would stand on the 28th of June, I'd say they'd have taken it. Would you think?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And even that wee Cork defeat, I think, in the grand scheme of things, was what Donegal needed. Just to quell some of the things and just make them go back and refocus and really get back to what is making them the best. Because whenever they're playing hungry and they're coming with that hunger to prove themselves, I think that's, they're in a good place. Now, they are favourites for this tie, which they haven't been a huge amount this year. And so that asks them to go and win it. Is it okay for Donegal to come and sit really, really compact if they're facing Louth? You would think Donegal would want to come out a wee bit. I don't think they will. But I think you're looking at a Dublin-Donegal game from 2014 here. I hope not. But it has the hallmarks of it. Two teams, I expect Louth to come out and just keep doing what they're doing. I think they're happy with that role, and they would rather take the roll of the dice that they're in this game towards the end, and that their big men, the likes of Grimes, the likes of Mulroy, the likes of Downey, those types of players can make hay in critical moments if they can get this game down the stretch. And certainly you would back them. Like, they're almost more individual match winners. Those two, three players are bigger individual match winners for Louth than maybe what Donegal have at their disposal. I expect a really defensive game, not much kicking, as you sort of said, leading into it. But it is such a chance for Donegal, as you said. This is Donegal's chance. I expect them to come out, put this to bed and move on. I would be very surprised if Donegal don't do a really efficient job here and get into that semi-final.
We all seem to be veering towards the four teams that had the week off ending up winners. Now, they were also the four teams, three of whom were provincial champions. And then you have Armagh thrown into the mix, who obviously made a provincial final. So they'd have been favourites irregardless. But how significant, just before we move on to our final game, is that week off now, Wilo? I mean, I know, look, the format is going to change next year, and the president has already said that it hasn't worked. But is a lot of what we're seeing in terms of form lines, in terms of predictions, and in terms of how we see these games play out, predicated upon the fact that the team that has gone week on week on week is at a severe disadvantage?
I would think there's definitely evidence there, Roy, you know, like it, whether it's mental fatigue rather than physical fatigue is probably the big question. And I think probably it's mentally, because every week it's so hard on players probably to get themselves to the right pitch. But I think we've kind of seen a bit of a trend of that in the last few weeks. I think we've seen most of the top teams have hit flat patches. Do you know what I mean? Mayo, first half last week. Galway, first half last week. Armagh, first half against Galway. Tyrone, last week. I think it's very, very difficult for teams week on week. You know, we speak a lot about bringing that intensity and bringing that heat and that energy and the ability of teams when they get that kind of momentum. So I think that's where that distinct advantage helps, that like the likes of Armagh coming in tomorrow, like there's no excuses. They're either at the pitch for it or they're not. And if they're not, then they're going to get a lot of criticism. You know, they've had their break, they've had their rest. So you got to believe the advantages, even from a Dublin perspective, that they've had 2 weeks to go away. That was the perfect outcome. They didn't have... They weren't back on the road, no logistics last week, able to regroup, able to sit back, you know, get a training camp in over the weekend and get themselves to the right pitch mentally and physically. So I do. It's an absolute advantage. And I think it's you hear managers speaking, like Kevin McStay has spoken about it openly, that the challenges of that. The challenges of a week on week when we get to the actual key stage of the championship is, you know, it's kind of madness, really. And I think... I would credit the GA and I would credit Charlotte Burns for, you know, recognizing and saying you got to change something because it's too much in a short period of time.
And then moving on to our final game, Derry Kerry. I mean, you had the travel, you had extra time, and then the emotional ringer that is penalties from a Derry perspective, and then having to lift it to go in and face Kerry 7 days later or 8 days later. That's a big ask from their point of view, but I'm sure, look, they're not one certainly...
bit of it. For me, not one bit of it. No? I've heard that a wee bit this week. I think them Derry players would have been buzzing when they went back into One Bag this week. I think they have come through an absolute hell for 6 weeks, and suddenly you've seen the buzz and the energy of them after that match, just on the pitch. That camp will be buzzing, and they will be rubbing their hands to now get back into Croke Park, and suddenly the belief running through their veins. I think that belief will be much shallower than what it was, but from being where they were to getting that hit of belief and confidence and suddenly we're back, that sort of thing. And it's Kerry, they're coming down the road, so they've nothing to lose, and people are once again writing them off, and rightly so. Kerry are favourites for this game, but I think any notions of tiredness and all of that is completely secondary to just the mood within the camp. And I think Derry will be flying for this match in a way that they weren't for that Westmeath. Like their energy into this match will be at a completely different level than that Westmeath match, yet that a week off before it, if you know what I mean. So it's all about what that Mayo game has given Derry, not taken away from them in terms of energy. Coming into this game, Derry are a very different place compared to this time last year when they played Kerry. Kerry, for me, are also in a slightly different place. Kerry last year were all guns blazing for that Tyrone quarterfinal and came out and blew Tyrone away. They were hungry, they were angry, they wanted to prove themselves against Tyrone. They were so annoyed about that 2021 game. They came out and, by God, they had Tyrone in the crosshairs and they blew Tyrone away in a similar type picture. They then played Derry in last year's All-Ireland semi-final, and I think at that stage, Kerry had taken care of Tyrone. That was a big one. Then all eyes were turning to that Dublin All-Ireland final, and Derry were there. The story team of coming up through, but nobody really expected to beat Kerry. It was a game for Kerry to take care of business and move on. So I don't think Kerry reached anywhere near the same pitch that they produced against Tyrone last year. And Derry obviously ran them close in that semi-final. This year it's slightly different. I think Kerry will be motivated for this Derry game, and Derry, having had that performance against Mayo, will have been enough to alert them, to get them going. But I think Kerry will be really tuned into this game. I think Derry will be full of confidence. I cannot wait for this game, to be honest. Like David Clifford took out last year again, Chrissy McKeague, but he's off form this year. So how's that matchup? Are Derry going to stick with Chrissy McKeague on him? Chrissy was good the last day, but he's been a wee bit off form earlier on in the year. So on so many levels, this game is set up perfectly in terms of energy. I will trust Derry to the hilt that Derry will come with a game on Sunday. If Kerry really produce what they're capable of, I've been really impressed with Kerry. They have, again, Monaghan, particularly in the first half, their defensive structure was so ruthless. They were back in numbers. There was no messing about. They were setting up defensively and then breaking out, and they looked good at it, to be honest. They haven't been tested since, but I think they'll know they have to bring that against Derry. And if Kerry are really in a ruthless, ruthless mood in terms of their defensive energy and their physicality that they bring whenever they're on it, then for me it'll be a Kerry win. But cannot wait for this game.
We know that they're a lot of talk about Kerry. You know that they didn't get tested in the group stages. They didn't get tested in Munster. I'm sure that's going on since Charlie High was a boy. Like, I mean, it's. I don't know if it makes that much of a difference with Kerry. Like, they come into All-Ireland quarterfinals and that's just their business. This is the way, when the season starts for them. Would that be fair?
Yeah, and they're used to that, I suppose. And probably we're looking at it through the lens of there's been so much football played for so many other counties and been a hell going on, and they've just been kind of sitting in the long grass, tipping away. If you say, and they got lucky enough with the draw in their group as well. They were always going to be comfortable. They didn't, you know, have to put much energy into that. And the only question mark that I have over them, Rory, is that the last time I kind of saw them live was against Dublin in the league game. Now I know it's a league game and I know it's February, March, and you don't overread into that. But, you know, definitely there were question marks around their defensive setup that night. And they were badly exposed. So I think they come in and everyone's thinking, yeah, they're going to time this and they're going to come in and they're going to be at it and up and ready to go. But it's how they approach the game is fascinating from my perspective, because I think it's going to be a brilliant game. Really looking forward to it. I think Derry went back to basics last week. You know, they went back to what had served them well in the past. They got that they were strong defensive structure. As the game wore on, you know, like obviously Brendan Rodgers, who was out of form, came back into it. You know, Doherty and Cassidy weren't in it in the first half and then thundered into the game in extra time in terms of what they offered. McGuigan still trying to find a bit of form. McInnes back made a massive difference last week in terms of what he offered in an attacking way. And I just wonder how did Kerry set up the weekend, because the one thing that Mayo done really well last week was, in typical Mayo fashion, is when Derry had the ball, Mayo pushed out man-to-man. And they were man-to-man all over the pitch. You even saw it in the second half. They let Oran Lynch have the ball and they were kind of gone, yeah, leave him have it. Let him go as far as he wants, right? But they really put Derry under pressure in terms of they're working the ball through that middle third to get to those positions where they like to get it. And they pressurised them out the field. And it stifled them a small bit. And caused them a lot of difficulties. While their defensive structure was solid when they didn't have the ball, Mayo caused them a little bit of difficulties offensively. So what do Derry do? Do they, you know, and does Morley drop off and they offered them the extra man and Lynch coming up and like in that first half where Kerry were all over the place last year, standing off, Morley was cut out of position, they were coming overlaps, popped, I don't know, 9, 10 points, 11 points in that first half last year? Or are they brave enough to say, right, we'll learn from Mayo, we'll try really push out them, but then are we good enough man-to-man at the back? Could we be exposed? So I think it's fascinating how we all know that Kerry have the firepower up front. I think they'll find ways of breaking down the Kerry defence. They're quite good at that. They'll get their opportunities. They have the top quality forwards. But I think Jack O'Connor's biggest question mark is how do I set up defensively to try and curtail Derry's offensive threat?
Midfield battle. You've got Joe O'Connor, Dermot O'Connor versus Conor Glass, Brendan Rodgers. Who do you see coming out on top there, Enda? And how significant might it be in the overall scheme of things in terms of the game itself?
Yeah, like, if, if if you asked me 2-3 weeks ago, I'd be saying Glass and Rodgers had both just really seemed to have lost form. And obviously they were covering for other absences that was there, and you would have been saying, right, this is Kerry's. I think it'll be pretty even, to be honest, and I don't think that'll be the decisive area that it often is in other games. Galway-Dublin will be an area where I think the midfield battle will have a significant say in that game, but I don't think it'll have this significant battle in this game, to be honest. Kerry are still a work in progress in the midfield area. I don't think it's an area that they're fully on top of yet. Derry are coming back to form in that area. But Glass was sitting an awful lot the last day, sitting in more maybe critical is the form line of Shane McGuigan. We seen glimpses towards the end of that game in Castlebar where McGuigan had a massive say in things and kicked a couple of good points, became involved in a couple of key plays. And I think the likes of him, he has to be hitting form. Yes, Lachlan Murray really stood up the last day. But again, he'll now be under full focus, and it's very different for a forward to have that breakout display and really put your name up in lights. It's very difficult to follow that up again whenever a top county team homes in on you on their video work, and you get a dedicated top marker that wants to shut you down and gets kudos for doing so. I think Derry need Shane McGuigan to click into his best if they're to stand a chance.
So given the farm lines, the four favourites, do we see any upsets so below? Do you think the four teams that are kind of picked as favourites to win, do you think that's how it'll play out?
I'd be going for the four favourites this week, and I know generally we do get an upset. I can't. Yeah, I would stick
with favorites. You likewise, Zinda.
Yeah, I'm trying to think where what I think is the dodgiest one. I think I'm not surprised by the ticket sales. I think the four games are so perfectly set up; they're all well within the margin of error in terms of a potential upset. But you would still favour the, unsurprisingly, you'd still favour, I'm really top analyst today, you'd favour the favourite for obvious reasons.
Which if that does pan out the way it does, it sets us up for another Dublin Kerry All-Ireland final.
Four smashing games this weekend, a lot of good footballers on the pitch. If they hit form and they go at it, we could have brilliant games now.
Yeah, it will be fantastic. Four games. I think you're both on duty. I think you're on Saturday night and you're probably on Sunday, and are you?
I am.
On Sunday. So look, it'll be four fantastic games, big crowds in Croke Park across both days. Obviously, the Saturday game is on afterwards on Saturday night to cover the two games. I think Wheelo's on that. And then obviously the doubleheader is live on RT1. On Sunday with a 1:15, 3:15 throw in between Donegal Louth first, followed by Kerry Derry after that, and in the Sunday game nighttime programme to follow. We will be back on Monday morning to review what we hope is going to be a very good weekend of Gaelic football as the knockout season really kicks into gear. And until then, Sláinte agus Bannacht.
Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a point.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road, and that's not going to be taken away from us.
What I love in hurling, I love players that never give in.
He hits it, it's over the bar.